Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to think about your love this morning. Please open our hearts and our minds so that we may hear and digest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As many of you will know, it's been quite a difficult couple of weeks for us as a church. And we've been reflecting really on the series which we planned about 6 months ago called Tough Love, which we started last week. It was Remembrance Sunday, and we were talking about brotherly love and looking at the love which God encourages to have for each other, a sacrificial love for each other. And it seemed like a good time to do that. And again, today it feels like a good time to be talking about God's unconditional love for us. And next week, by the way, we're talking about responsible love. We're talking about our love for what God has created and how we deal with the planet, for example. But today we're talking about God's love for us. Our gospel reading reminds us that there is no limit to God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That is limitless love in action. There are no conditions to God's love. There was about this time of year, a long time, well, not about a century ago, in Wales, a woman was walking along the road with her baby, and it started snowing, and she got actually completely caught up in the snow and eventually lost the battle with the snow and died. The following morning, she was found, and she was found on her front with the baby underneath her, cocooned, still alive. She had saved her baby by giving her own life, by lying down there and cocooning the baby. That baby was Lloyd George, turned out to be quite a significant player in British politics and world politics after that. But that was a mum giving her life for her son. God's love is unconditional. Last week we heard the story of the prodigal son, and Piers said he wished he'd been doing the talk this week, and he was probably right because I've been reflecting on that. The prodigal son is a story of, let's come back to him in a minute actually. Many of our lives I think are less than perfect, aren't they? I've met many people who have been bullied, who've been controlled in their lives, and have come out damaged by that. I've met many people who've been abused in the past, and I saw some of that myself in boarding school for 7 years. So speaking about God's unconditional love to us, sometimes it's difficult for us to receive that, isn't it? Difficult for us to believe that God does love us unconditionally. Many of us, I think, because of our past, think we have to deserve it. We have to earn it. We have to achieve it in some way. But the story of the lost son, the prodigal son, turns that on its head. If you remember, the son demands that his father give him his part of the inheritance. He was the younger of two sons, so that would have been about a third of his dad's money. And he took it. His dad gave it to him, and he took it away. And we all know the story, probably. He blew it, basically. He spent it on gambling, wild living, prostitutes. It was a disaster. He lost it. And he became broke, completely broke. And he found a job looking after the pigs and sleeping with the pigs, basically, in the pig's pen of somebody who was prepared to give him a few pence for that task. His life was a nightmare. And he thought, well, what can I do? I could go back to my father, but he's never going to forgive me. I'm going to have to go back, and maybe he'll give me a little bit of money to work on his farm. Maybe I can become his employee, his hireling. Maybe I can earn my keep on his farm. There's that word earn again, isn't it? He needed to earn his father's love. But when he gets home, there is a surprise waiting for him, because his father has seen him, probably looking out for him constantly. And he's gone to the gate. And more than that, he's run to the gate to meet his son when he sees him coming towards him. But more than that, his father gives him, we understand, clothes. probably would have been a coat, fine clothes, a bit like Joseph would have had from his father when he had his coat of many colours. It was a sign of love and being a son, along with the jewellery, the ring that he was given, and sandals. Those three things, the coat, the sandals, and the ring, would have been a sign of him being a son. So his father was saying, you're not going to earn your money. I'm going to bring you back into the family, and I'm going to love you completely. In fact, he even gets a fatted calf, doesn't he? The best cow that's been fattened up for a little while, and he gets that so that he can throw a party for his friends to show that it's a wonderful thing that he's come back. So there are two versions of the story here, aren't there? The son's version, which is about shame. It's about, I've ruined my life. I've let my parents down. It's been terrible. At best, I can come back and try and earn my way back into my dad's favour. That was the son's version of the story. But the dad's version is very different, isn't it? It's welcome, it's reconciliation, it's redemption. Unconditional love is what his father had for the son. So which does he believe? Which story does he live in? He's got a choice from that point onwards. But his brother also has a story, the older brother. So the older brother sees all this happening, he sees the party starting, and he's pretty fed up. He's been working for his dad all his life. He's been obedient. And as he says, I've been slaving for you, Dad. And I haven't even had a party with a goat, let alone a fatted calf. This waster of a brother has come back. And look what you've given him. You've welcomed him back into the family. This runs deep, doesn't it? I wonder how long he'd been feeling this. Was it since way before his little brother went away and spent all that money? But he's been thinking about it now, certainly for a while. It's bitter, it's deep. You can hear it in the words of the Bible. But then there's another surprise. What does the father say to him? He says, very calmly, but everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. This is a different story to the one the older brother is believing. Which story does he trust? Does he choose his own story, which seems and sounds a little bit like hell to me? Or does he choose his father's story, which feels a little bit like heaven to me? Back to us. We all have our own stories. We all have our own identity. Our backgrounds have shaped us. The things that have happened to us, bad and good, have shown the way we are, have changed our values. There are things that we will believe about ourselves, which, despite the pain and the agony that they cause us, we feel, I don't know, comfortable with. Our stories, each of our stories, yours and mine, they do seem a bit like hell sometimes. We might have been telling that story to ourselves for years. It might be written in the ink of abuse and betrayal. It might be about a failing. It might be about an addiction, a secret which we have, a redundancy which we've had from work, a tragedy we've had in our life. And this story is so badly stained, even biological Ariel won't get it out. Fundamentally, we believe we're not good enough, and we can't bury it. Or maybe we're the older brother, and our story is pride. We're too good for all of this. We're better than these weak people that have to go to church. I can do it my way. I deserve it. I can earn it. I can slave my way to it. Our reading this morning tells us that God so loved the world and confronts us with a new story for each of our lives. A story which is honest, which is liberating, and which really is good news for each one of us, every single one of us. There isn't anybody in here for which this story is not good news. It begins with the sure and certain truth that we are loved, whatever we've been like, whatever our heart is like, however hard it is, however crusted with stone around the edge our heart is, whatever our failures, whatever our rebellion. in spite of things that have been done to us, that have wounded us in the past. God has made peace with us through Jesus and invites us to a new story, without guilt or shame, without blame or anxiety. You are always with me, God is saying to us. Everything I have is yours. This is shocking to us, isn't it? It's difficult to believe that it can apply to me, to you. God the Father is generous and loving, but surely that can't include me as well. We find it easier to believe our own story, which is a bit like hell, than God's story, which is a bit like heaven. But our story is a distorted story. It's bound to be. Whatever our story is, it's distorted. It's a distorted view of God. We can trust God's retelling of our story. Or we can cling to our old version, which is a bit like hell. We can trust God's telling of our story, but to do that, we have to trust God. We're free to accept or reject the hand that is offered by God through Jesus to us. We're free to accept or reject the invitation to a new life, to a new story that God extends to us. To resist God's retelling of our story moves us a little bit away from God's love. It walks us away from God's love. And it will feel, by definition, a little bit more like hell. But we have a choice to walk towards God's love, where it feels a little bit more like heaven. God is love, and love is a relationship, and Jesus invites us into that relationship with God. Some of you will know that that happened to me quite a long time ago when I was at university. I'd been bullied at school, at boarding school, quite badly. I had a really, really tough 7 years. And I came out of that quite coward, quite cowed, quite damaged, quite wounded. And yet, the surprise for me was that actually that story I'd told myself didn't have to be the story that I lived in. Because a few people who got to know me and were kind enough to introduce me to God's love helped me realize that God had a different story for me, a complete retelling of the story of my life. Jesus did that with his disciples. He invited them to enter and share his life of peace and joy and to be transformed. And they were completely. We can invite God into our lives and experience this love in our own flesh and blood. We can be free from guilt. Jesus' kind of love simply does away with fear. He says, "You are always with me. I am always with you. Everything I have is yours." This truth is both comforting and challenging at the same time, isn't it? It's healing and a bit unnerving at the same time. Maybe you're telling yourself a distorted story, a story of self-loathing, where you're caught up in the past, a younger brother story. Or maybe you feel your father can only love you because of how obedient you are, and you've got an older brother story going on in your life. Or maybe this is the day when finally the penny can drop. The Father's love was never about any of that. God's love is not about earning, and it's not about shame. It cannot be taken away. It is just there for us. Whatever your deepest, darkest sins, whatever your shameful secrets, they are eclipsed by the ecstatic announcement of the gospel that we celebrate, about to celebrate during Advent, of Jesus coming to earth to heal all this. There's nothing left for either of the sons to do but to trust God and his unconditional love. There's nothing left for you and me to do except to trust God and his unconditional love. Our response can be simple. It's easy. We simply have to say thank you. Admit what we've been. Praise God for his generosity and love, and that just surrender ourselves to him. Jesus says it's only when we lose our life that we can find it. When we lose all the rubbish that's been part of our life in the past, and then we can trust Jesus for our futures. By accepting God's story, what we're doing is we're inviting him to live in us. God said, when we accept him, he comes to live in us. His Holy Spirit takes root in us. He abides in us. There's less room then for those dark secrets in our lives. In fact, there's no room at all once the Holy Spirit fully takes up residence. Our thanks to God for his unconditional love for us should be simply to invite him into our lives, to get to know him, spend time with him, make time every day, just a bit of time, just to read his Bible and to pray. Be a bit honest with him about how it is and invite him to wash through you with his love. It's not difficult, but it is life-changing. Our sins will begin to dissolve. Our habits will start to be broken. Our addictions will start to be dealt with properly. Our fears will be calmed. Our wounds will start to heal. But we do have to bring them to him. And part of that thanks is to say, there are things I'm struggling with, Lord. Things I need to admit, Lord, and to let him do his stuff in your life. Don't live in denial any longer. Now's a good time to invite God to hold us accountable. There may be some things in our lives where we need to find somebody to walk alongside us, to hold us accountable as we heal and as we change. But God living in us will become a catalyst that will make that possible. Let's pray. If you've not known God's unconditional love before, or maybe you've been pushing it out, saying, I'm not worthy, or I'm too good, or whatever it is, I need to earn it, then now's the chance to echo the words that I'm going to use, to allow God to wash through your life, to enter your life, and to give you his unconditional love. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story that you are creating for us, a life of unconditional acceptance, unconditional love. Thank you for the party that you are throwing for us as we come back to you. Yes, we see now that we've been living in our own story, a story that separates us from you, a story that depends on our obedience, a story that depends on our goodness. But we know those stories are wrong, and we thank you for your unconditional love. We accept your unconditional love. We invite you to abide in us, to live in us. We invite you to chase out our hurt, our guilt, our shame, our egos, and to replace that with your Holy Spirit. And Father, where there are specific habits or addictions we need to overcome, help us to know that we're not on our own. Help us to bring those things to someone we can trust, to pray with us, to hold us accountable, to help us overcome them. Lord, we don't want them hidden anymore. Thank you, Father, that you have a story of acceptance for us, a story where you give us fine clothes, jewelry, and sandals, the signs of being a son or a daughter, a sign of being your son or your daughter. Thank you, Father. Amen.